Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. Hey, young man. While you're walking that way, can I talk to you on the radio?
Okay.
What are you studying?
Architecture.
Cool. All right, I'm going to throw something at you, my architecture friend. There's a building that's being built right there.
I'm aware.
Yep. Who designed that bad boy?
I don't know.
Do you think that anybody was involved in the design?
I'm pretty sure someone was.
An architect, right?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because architects design a lot of buildings.
Can a building go up like that, that's that sophisticated, without an architect?
I don't know. Possibly.
Don't think so. I mean, but ultimately, somebody had to be put in the design.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any idea where I'm leading you right now?
You're probably leading me to the fact that no architect was involved.
Well, that would be the theory of the Big Bang, that there was no architect involved with the creation of the universe. That's kind of the Big Bang idea, that this just all kind of exploded, and here it is all designed. And to me, it makes about as much sense as saying that building went up without an architect. What do you think? Am I nuts?
I don't know.
So how do you think we got here, dude?
Big Bang.
Really?
Yeah.
That everything just kind of blew up and got organized?
I wouldn't really call it organized.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. Great. Well, now that we've resolved that, I don't know why he's going to school. We don't need architects. You don't think the universe is organized? All right. We need more grants here at the campus. We need to start buying some kids some telescopes. They need to start looking around. It's not organized. How much more does God need to do? What else does he need to provide for any human being to know that he exists besides a universe? The reality is most people never open up their eyes, look around and go, huh, there's got to be somebody behind this. They simply never take the time. But he is calling out to everybody every single day. They're just not listening. Let's see if this young man will listen. Hey, dude. While you're walking, can I walk with you and talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
You up for that? What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Biomedical engineering.
Heeks. All right. I just had a conversation with a kid who's studying to be an architect. All right. And this is what I proposed to him. Just like that building that's going to be the new student center there, there was an architect.
Right.
He hasn't met the architect, but he knows that an architect designed it because it's so intricately designed, it couldn't go up all by itself. And so I reasoned with him that it seems to me the planet that we're on, the trees, the birds, the bees, and you and me, and the stars and the solar system are very organized. There had to be an architect of the universe. And he just flat out disagreed with me. Would you agree or disagree with my logic and thinking?
I'm also going to disagree.
Really? How come?
It seems implausible that there's some sort of creator, some sort of architect.
I would reason with you that it's more implausible that all this stuff got designed without an architect.
It sort of seems more likely, given the scope of the universe, that it all just sort of fell into place by chance.
You think that it all happened by chance?
Yeah.
Okay, let me try a kooky scenario. You and I take a bunch of stuff, okay?
All right.
Some boards, your sandal, this curtain down here from the fence, and we take that campus directory sign, cut down a tree and take some of those bricks, and we put it in a pile. We put a stick of dynamite underneath it, blow it up, and a house appears.
Right.
How reasonable is that?
Well, trying to compare the formation of, like, the Earth, like, from that little thing is trying to describe the whole, like, economy, basically, with, like, one little supply and demand chart. It's the same reason why everybody's not rich. You can't really describe it that way. In the scope of the universe, impossible is really an empty term, so...
Why?
Because it's so big that the impossible is possible.
So statistically, ultimately because it's so big and time just seems to be so big, it could happen.
What could happen?
The creation and design of the universe.
Yes.
Where did all the stuff come from?
Well, I mean, it's matter.
Yeah, where'd it come from?
it was, I mean, it's not really where it came from. It was.
So it's always existed.
Yes, matters. It's always been.
Matters conserved. Eternal.
Well, I mean, nothing is really eternal, but it
doesn't something have to be?
Nah.
So where did it come from?
I mean, nobody knows.
Ah. Hey, so you've got faith, too.
Not really, no.
Well, you got faith in the idea that, well, we don't know where it came from, so I'm just believing that it came from somewhere, but I don't know where, and it got
I
all organized.
I believe in science rather than pulling a creator out of the air.
Okay, but we both have faith, though, because I believe in God. You believe in science, so we're both men of faith. It's just the object of our devotion is something completely different.
I suppose, though, it's not really devotion more than it is sort of an occupation, but...
Oh, I'll bet it is a devotion.
Not really. I could take it or leave it.
Okay, let's see if you're willing to leave it. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
No.
Really? What makes you bad?
Nothing makes me bad, but I mean, good is sort of an open-ended word. And...
Fair enough. Let's try it. I'll create the standard. Okay. And I think we're going to agree to it for the most part. Lying, I think we'd agree, is a bad thing. Yes?
Okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Have you ever stolen anything? That's a bad thing.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Downloading music?
No.
Pens?
Pens?
Pens. No. Something small, insignificant. Coins from your parents?
I mean,
stole something from a sibling?
Not on purpose.
All right. How's about, let's try gossip.
Gossip.
Have you ever been guilty of gossip? Really? Dude,
no.
Come on. You've never shared a rumor about somebody?
I don't care enough to do that.
Oh, you're an apathetic fella.
Yes, I am.
All right, let's try lust. How's about purity of heart and thought? Have you ever looked at a girl and had sexual desires about her?
Who hasn't?
I wouldn't argue with you. Have you?
Of course.
Okay. So as far as thought life, not all that pure.
I mean, I don't really believe in the whole purity thing. I believe in humans themselves as flawed and aspiring to be some ideal of something better just sort of seems irrational.
Okay. But I suspect you strive for that every day. But even so, you said you're a good person, but we've discovered that
I didn't really, but that's okay.
Well, okay.
Based on the definition that you've set up,
my definition, right, would be no lying, no stealing, no lusting.
Okay.
And you violated those principles.
Yeah.
So if that's the standard, that would make you not a good person at all. That would definitively make you a bad person, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Okay.
I suppose.
Here's what I just gave to you, if you didn't recognize it. I tried to give you some of the Ten Commandments, is what I just shared. Because Jesus said, you thought, well, where did the lust thing come from? Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Okay.
Because God goes deeper than just what we do. It's what we also think.
Okay.
All right? Remember what we're going for here. I'm going to try to see if you're as blasé about holding on to your science as you claim. All right?
Well, I said I could take it or leave it.
All right, let's see. If you died and God judged you for every thought, every word, every deed, everything you've ever done or failed to do, not thanking him for air and food, for being unkind, for not helping when you should have, by lusting and lying, dishonoring your parents, would God see you as an innocent or guilty man?
I mean, I don't know, but I don't really care because when I die, I don't really believe that I'm going to be judged.
I know, but I'm appealing to your conscience right now, the courtroom in your brain that says...
I also find that sort of irrational.
Yeah, well, you might find it irrational, but I suspect you use it an awful lot.
Not really.
Really? So you're a criminal?
No,
you abide by your conscience all the
but
time.
But conscience is sort of, it's sort of a subjective term. There is no objective conscience. Everybody has their own particular set of morals.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's provable. I think pretty universally we agree
well, God
that lying
isn't provable
and,
either.
Well, that's a separate subject, but let's just stick with your conscience for a moment. I think you'd agree it's bad to lie, right?
Yeah.
And steal.
Okay.
Okay. Would God see you as innocent or guilty if his standard is the Ten Commandments, which I've just tried to open up for you? Would he see you as innocent or guilty?
Oh, unbelievably innocent.
Now I think you're pulling my leg.
No, that's serious.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why would you say such a thing?
Because I'm the epitome
of good.
Purity.
Uh-huh. Now yes. You're pulling my leg.
No, I'm absolutely serious.
You are?
Yes.
So, dude... innocent or guilty before God?
I don't know. I mean, based on the criteria that you've laid before me, I suppose that would make me guilty.
Okay, so if God is just, should he reward you, take you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
Well, if he's as merciful as you Christians like to say, he would forgive me and offer me a seat at some sort of divine table of paradise that, even though he's so unfathomably great, we seem to try and to fathom something that's absolutely amazing based on our own human ideals. So I suppose he'd try and do that.
Well, actually, he's trying to do that right now with you.
Right.
Yeah, not when you die, because then it's too late. Court case, you die once, you get judged by God, party's over. Books are closed, the verdict gets rendered, and it's all done. But he does offer you mercy today.
Okay, well, when I see God in front of me, I will cross that bridge when I come to it.
You're not concerned about it today?
Not in the slightest.
Honest? Now, I want to make sure, because I don't want to walk away and be troubled tonight thinking maybe you're spoofing with me this time.
No, I'm serious. I don't really care at all.
So this conversation, it's just sort of more like a distraction in your day.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you're being very polite, and I appreciate that.
All right.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat.
All right, cool. All right. Have a good day.
You too. Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for being here at Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who take time to tune in and listen on a daily basis. And we also appreciate each and every one of you who are gospel partners. You can partner with Wretched right now to save the lost. As a matter of fact, the more you give, the more we're always able to give away. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of God's people, just like you. We're members in good standing of the ECFA. In other words, we can't waste your money, even if we wanted to, which we don't and never would. Get all the information right now on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Your faithful and consistent support will help Wretched reach millions of people all around the world. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. You can give either at wretched.org/donate, or you can text the word wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you gotta see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you gotta see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, see the work that they're doing, and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, young man, can I walk with you while you're walking?
Okay.
Can I talk to you on the radio while we're doing that?
Okay.
Cool. What's your first name?
Junior.
Junior?
Yeah.
Really? That's the official name on the birth certificate? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Junior, how come?
Well, I mean, in Jamaica, it's normal to for somebody named Junior.
Oh, okay. So you're from Jamaica. Dude, what is the predominant religion in Jamaica?
I mean, most people know Jamaica, like, for the Rastafarianism.
Yes, sir.
But I think it's Christian religion.
What are you?
I'm a Christian.
Please help me. I've been asking a lot of people that question. Can you tell me how I can become a Christian?
Well, I'm not really definitely a Christian. I'm just
You're maybe a Christian.
I'm just growing up in a Christian home, you know? So.
All right, but it didn't stick to you.
I don't know.
Are you trying to figure it out?
I mean, not really. You know, I mean, I haven't really been trying to... I haven't really thought about it. You know what I mean?
Can you tell me what the main message of Christianity is?
I guess, Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah. What does that mean?
That he's the one that created the earth and people, and you should serve him, I guess.
Okay. What's the Savior part have to do with it?
I guess they're saying that... he's the one who's going to come back and redeem the earth of the evil and get rid of the evil and stuff like that, you know, and claim all the good people.
Claim all the good people?
Yeah.
Are you a good people?
I guess everybody got their own definition of good people. Yeah.
Well, how's about God's definition? Wouldn't that be the important definition?
Yeah, I mean...
Do you think by his standard you're good?
Yeah, I think I'm a good guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
How many?
Huh? I mean, I don't know.
Have you stolen anything in your life?
When I was a kid, yeah.
All right. Have you ever lusted after women?
I guess every straight man do.
No. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I think so, too.
Okay, dude, that was 4 commandments that you've broken.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you were a good person.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, you seem like a nice fellow. But if I were the judge, I'd say you're not a good person at all. You're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart.
Well, I mean, what about you?
Oh, ditto. Yeah.
Ditto. It did all the same?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so that means...
And I'm older than you, so far more.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I was an overachiever, so I probably did more at your age.
Okay, so I guess you do the same thing to yourself.
Well, I think what it demonstrates is that the Bible is accurate when it says that everybody breaks God's laws.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so nobody's not perfect.
And nobody's good.
Yeah, nobody's not
one.
Perfect.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
In fact, not even not perfect, not even close. Everybody's very wretched, right? Try this one on for size. I put a computer chip behind your ear that records every thought that goes through your brain for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
We fly in friends and family from Jamaica and all of your pals here at Georgia Tech. And we put up your thought life onto the big screen for them to see. What would they see that has been running through the brain of Junior?
I don't know. I mean,
kind of scary, wouldn't it?
I don't know. You know what I mean, I don't know what I'm going to perceive or see on a daily basis. And I mean, that's going to allow me to think differently. You know?
Well, here's what I just tried to share with you, friend, is that the Bible says you're not good. The Bible says you're bad. Mm-hmm. And that God's not going to come back and take the good people. He's going to come back and judge everybody. And if he judges you, he would find you guilty of breaking his laws, just like everybody else. And what he should do with you is not rescue you, but punish you. That's what he should do with you, right?
Well, I mean, obviously it's not that way because, I mean, all of us sin and we're not being punished, you know what I mean?
Well, he is that way, and he will ultimately punish everybody when they die or beforehand, or he'll kill you.
And you're a Christian too?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But see, here's what I'm leading you toward.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in big trouble, left to ourselves. Nobody does good, not one. But there is a God who is good. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, lived 2,000 years ago, took on human form just like yours. And he was punished by men, beaten by men.
Yes, the thing is, I mean, that's what I'm kind of, I'm kind of a little bit confused about, you know what I mean? Because...
Yeah.
I mean, I took some classes and I read a lot about history, history of the human race, and I'm not sure if everything they told me is true. You know what I mean?
Because, well, I'm telling you what the Bible says.
I mean, who wrote the Bible?
Men who saw Jesus Christ get punished, beaten, and crucified. Because they wrote it down, and they would have to be wicked and awful to share that lie.
Exactly. I mean, you say people are wicked and awful. You just told me that. I mean,
right.
Some
I mean,
people,
they'd have
I mean, yeah, wicked people before you.
Oh, of course. But I don't think the guys who wrote the Bible were.
Why not?
Because they saw something.
How do you know that?
Well, I'll tell you why. All right, this is the biggie, and this is the important part.
Yeah.
Okay? I could, let's say this guy told me to believe in Oprah Winfrey as the great goddess of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I believe this guy, I might be willing to die for Oprah Winfrey. Okay? But here's the difference with Jesus. Eyewitnesses saw Jesus walk this earth, get beaten and crucified, and rise from the dead. And they were willing to die for what they saw. Not for what they were told, but for what they saw. And then they wrote it down so that you could know that there is a Savior. We come back to that Savior business.
Yeah.
Who took the punishment you deserved so that you could stand before God and be seen as not guilty because of what Jesus did on your behalf to save you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I mean, I heard all of that. I don't know how all of that works. I don't know what's happened like 20, 30 years ago. I mean, all I know is like what I see in front of me. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the way I see life, you know what I mean? It's like you plant a tree and it takes time to grow, you know what I mean? And if you don't give it water, you don't get the nourishment, it doesn't grow. That's the truth, you know what I mean? So that's how I see life.
All right.
You know what I mean? So,
well, I'm telling you the truth.
I don't know that.
Well, I'm trying to persuade you.
I mean,
all right? I'm not going to tase you. I'm just going to tell you with all the earnestness that I can muster. Your conscience tells you, you know God exists.
I'm going to ask a question. I mean, if you met a total stranger.
But dude, not the way you're talking.
Yeah?
Not the way you're talking. You're not a Christian. A Christian would say he's a bad man who's been forgiven by a good God. That's what a Christian would say.
I'm just saying it's like, I just don't like accepting everything that people just give to me like that. I mean, I like to find those things myself. You know what I mean? And question things. You know what I mean?
But if you're a Christian, you believe what the Bible says.
I was growing up in a Christian home. I corrected that earlier ago. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I know. But that doesn't make you a Christian.
I guess not entirely.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
not at all.
No.
Any more than making you... What did your dad do for a living?
Hmm? My dad is a painter.
Okay. Are you a painter?
No. Okay. I mean, it's
you grew up in a painting home. Okay. You, as a grown man, need to determine if this stuff is true or not. Okay.
Now, yeah, I'm still in the process of doing
that. I know you are, friend, and I'm trying to plead with you a little bit and maybe rattle you a little bit. Okay. The Bible says many people will say to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." You see, you can claim to know Jesus, but the question is, does Jesus know you? Is he your? This is the word you used. Is Jesus your Savior? Okay. You need a Savior like the rest of us. Your conscience tells you you've broken the laws. You need to have them forgiven. You can't work off your crimes. Jesus, the perfect God-man, was beaten, crucified on your behalf, that God might look at you through the work of Jesus Christ and see you as not guilty because of what Jesus did. Your badness put on Jesus. His goodness credited to your account. That's the gospel. Now, you must respond to that gospel. You can reject it if you choose. But if you realize, listening to your conscience, that is right. That is the truth.
It's not rejecting it. I mean, it's just that I've been taught to not just take what somebody threw at me.
I understand.
Go and find out for myself.
But
so
know
it's
this.
Not rejecting, you know?
Until you bend the knee, you are rejecting it.
No, I'm not rejecting it.
So rejecting. Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus and Him alone?
That's what I'm saying. I'm still searching. So
okay.
If I'm still searching,
okay.
I can't make any final decision.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Then you're not a Christian yet.
Huh?
You're not a Christian yet.
Exactly. I'm still searching.
Fair enough.
I'm still searching.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
But don't think that you're a Christian just because you kind of think you are.
I mean, as I said, I grew up in a Christian home. I kind of correct that, you know.
But yeah, I understand. Mean, okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
So I guess I'm not entirely a Christian yet, but I mean, Christianity teachings have a lot of good things, you know what I mean? Be kind, I mean, all those stuff are like good things, you know? So I adopt those stuff, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. But the problem is we don't do what we've been told.
We're a human being, you know, we're not perfect.
I know, that's our problem. Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, if it starts to shake you up, your conscience starts screaming, you are in big trouble. Think about what Jesus did for you, and that should cause you to repent, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Him.
Well, I mean, I'm not a sinful person. I wouldn't say I'm a sinful person.
Well, we just discovered you are, dude.
I mean, I say I lied before like you did.
That makes you a sinner.
Exactly, and you too, and you're a Christian, so...
But I'm a forgiven sinner, and you're not.
Why not? Why is not forgiving me?
Because you've got to repent and trust Jesus.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, that's what he said.
But that doesn't make no sense.
Okay, but he's the only one who died to forgive you of your sins.
The thing is, if God has the power to control everybody, I mean, that's what I've been told. And if he allow us to live by our free will, because he know that's the only way he can get real truth, is to for us to, like, come to our own sincerity, you know what I mean? To make our own decision and say that is what we want. That's real truth to me. You know
well, I mean? I'm telling you what Jesus said.
No, yeah, I mean...
He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, he wrote it down. Yeah, he did.
I mean, you got to give his number to call him because, I mean... I read the Bible. I mean, I read the Bible like almost every day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, my favorite chapter is like Proverbs because I teach.
Okay, let me encourage you to read a different book.
What?
Open up the book of Romans. Okay? Proverbs are sweet, but you haven't been keeping the Proverbs either. Open the book of Romans and give that a go. All right. See ya, Junior.
All right, man.
It was a pleasure.
Okay.
Goodbye. Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Hawaii Governor David Ige signed a pro-abortion law that pro-life leaders warn will put more lives at risk by allowing nurses to abort unborn babies. Hawaii News Now reports that Ige, a pro-abortion Democrat, and abortion advocacy groups asserted that the legislation is necessary because Hawaii has a doctor shortage. The new law, House Bill 576, allows advanced practice registered nurses to do first trimester abortions with abortion drugs or by the surgical aspiration method. Hawaii Life Alliance urged lawmakers to vote against the bill, testifying about the serious risks to women and girls as well as unborn babies. Pro-life leaders say complications include cervical lacerations, uterine perforations, and hemorrhaging. They slammed the legislation for putting women and children at greater risk. Expanding abortions is a stated goal of abortion activists and supporters of this new law. The Hawaii Center for Nursing, which supports the law, celebrated the governor's action, saying women desperately need abortions. They desperately need to murder their own babies. And somewhere in a postmodern world, that statement makes sense to somebody. And then you run across a logical person who realizes that it doesn't make any sense at all. And a trio of Christian schools is attempting to intervene in a high-profile federal lawsuit filed last month by 33 LGBT students. The suit seeks to force the nation's faith-based colleges, universities, and seminaries to recognize gender identity and sexual orientation as normal. Last Friday, the Alliance Defending Freedom asked a federal court in Oregon to allow three Christian post-secondary schools, Corbin University, William Jessup University, and Phoenix Seminary, to intervene as defendants in the lawsuit, which seeks to declare the religious exemption in Title IX as unconstitutional. Under current federal rules, religious institutions are exempt from Title IX, a 1972 law that prohibits sex-based discrimination in education programs and activities. And although the Trump administration argued that Title IX does not apply to sexual orientation and gender identity, the Biden administration has claimed it does. Of course they have. The suit asks the court to require the federal government to enforce the protections of Title IX at all taxpayer-funded educational institutions, including at those institutions that discriminate and cause harm on the basis of sincerely held religious beliefs. It was filed by the Religious Exemption Accountability Project, an organization backed by LGBT groups. But the trio of Christian institutions asserts that the court, quote, should not assess the constitutionality of religious exemption without hearing from the very religious educational institutions that the exemption was designed to protect. The school's motion to intervene says a victory for LGBT groups would harm not only the institutions, but also the students who rely on the federal funding to attend Christian schools. And more Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. There's a young man walking rather briskly who's going to get run over. Dude, look out. Hey, while you're walking fast, can I talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
You're a friendly guy. What's your first name?
I'm Dan.
Dan, nice to meet you. How do you do?
Pretty good.
Well, you're way perkier than I am. What are you studying here?
I'm a civil engineering student.
Civil engineering. So you want to be a very polite engineer?
Hopefully.
Alrighty then. So, dude, I was just having a chat. What religion are you?
Catholic.
You're Catholic. Okay, good. I was just having a chat with a guy who said he was a Christian.
Okay.
And I asked him to convert me.
Okay.
And he had nothing for me.
Okay.
Could you convert me? Would you please? I'm asking you.
What argument are you against it?
I'm a seeker in the universe, and I'm trying to figure out life. As the years ebb by, I get a sense that they're coming to a close, and I better get my house in order. So I'm thinking about things.
Okay. If there was no God, say you're right, then how there's still evil in the world, but how do you explain all the good? People just doing what they want?
Just haven't really thought about it.
Just haven't thought about it?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
But I'm not sure. Where are you taking me? Help me out. Where are you going with me?
I'm just saying that, I mean, usually the most common argument against a God is that there's still evil in the world.
I'm not fighting with you. I'm asking you, sign me up for your faith. What's in it for me?
What's in it for you?
Yeah.
Salvation.
What does that mean?
Being saved eternally in the end.
Okay. So going to heaven is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
You hesitated on me.
Well, I mean, if you live your life properly and live as a true Christian.
Okay, yeah. So I have to be a good person.
Yes.
And then I go to heaven.
Not necessarily. I mean, I think and believe that there's more to it than just being, quote, a good person. It's helping others and truly living... Well, but I mean, being good is kind of an understatement. It's truly living your life for God.
So being really good.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so I think, best I can tell, I'm living really good.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like I need to be Catholic.
I don't necessarily think you have to be Catholic to make it to heaven.
What do I need to be?
Just...
Be good.
Yeah.
Are you good?
I mean, I believe Jewish people, Muslim people, and everybody can make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think, like, you have to do everything that Catholics do. I mean, that's just what I believe, and that's...
Okay, I understand.
...my beliefs.
So do you think that you're making your way to heaven through your goodness?
I hope so.
How do you know?
How do you know?
Yes.
I mean, you have
You seem like a nice fellow, but I suspect you do things that are not good, right?
Well, yes. I mean, everybody...
Tells lies?
Yeah.
Do you tell lies?
At times. I try to stay away from it.
Everybody steals. Do you steal?
No.
Ever?
I did once years ago.
Okay. How's about purity of heart? What's going on in your brain? What? You look like a nice, clean-cut fellow, but what's going on inside? Like lusting, sexual thoughts and desires?
Everybody runs into those, I believe.
Okay.
But it's how you react to those that really matters. And if you let them overtake and consume your life, then that's where it becomes a problem. But yeah. If you think about them and then move past it and see the good in that other person... That's
yeah,
where you can...
But isn't it still a sin to have lustful thoughts?
I think it's human nature.
Could be, but that would still be a sin, wouldn't it?
Sin is human nature as well. I mean, we were born into sin through the sin of Adam and Eve back in the day.
Okay.
And so that's kind of something we have to deal with, that is our human nature.
Right.
But again, if you can get over that and defeat the sin, then that's where you can be a good person and make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm. So right now... Where do you stand? Are you a good person? Have you overcome the lusting and the lying and anything else? So you don't have to be perfect, just pretty good to get to heaven. Let me try this angle, all right? I'm looking at this from a judge standpoint. If a guy stood in front of me and said, Judge, I'm an innocent man, but I've broken the laws, I'd say, well, you're confused, you're deluded, you're not innocent, mm-hmm. you're guilty. And if somebody said to me, you're good... But you've done bad things, I'd say, I think you're confused. Doing bad things makes you a bad person.
Doesn't I don't it? Believe that.
Where am I off in my logic?
Because society kind of drives us to do bad things as well. I mean, it's the outside influence that drives us to do these bad things. And in the end, God is our one judge, and
I understand,
he's
but wouldn't
look
the
at those
judge say, that's kind of the devil made me do it excuse? You're blaming others for your crimes? I mean, these days an individual doesn't get to stand before a judge and say, yes, I committed that crime, but society, it's pretty rough out there, judge. The judge would say it's irrelevant. You are liable for your crimes.
You have to be responsible for what you do, but it's as bad as it is to say, like, society does shape who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just got out of an ethics kind of class that basically that's the whole gist of the class.
Yeah, like it can influence you and cause you to be a Democrat or a Republican or a capitalist or a communist, but you individually are still responsible for whether or not you lie and lust and steal and cheat and gossip and blaspheme, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, dude, if you've done those things, I'm having a hard time understanding this. It sounds to me like your system is, if you do something bad, make up for it by doing something good, and then God kind of washes the slate clean and you're set to go.
God's going to wash the slate clean no matter what.
Really?
He's an ever-forgiving God that looks past those things and looks on the good in your life.
Okay, but that to me sounds like a judge who lets criminals go without punishing them. I don't like that idea at all. I don't think he's a good judge if he does that.
He forgives them.
I understand, but that's the same thing. If you're guilty, and the judge says, forget about it.
Forgiveness and letting someone go is not the same thing.
What's the difference?
You can forgive someone that committed a crime against you and your family, but he's still in jail.
So there's still a punishment.
Forgiveness is something in the heart. It's not
okay.
Like whether he's rotting in jail
or not. All right, so God forgives. What's he going to do with your crimes then?
Forgets about them.
Well, that's I don't think that makes sense, because then he would no longer be a just judge. He'd be a very corrupt judge.
No, because he does the same for everybody.
It's irrelevant. It's still not upholding justice. If there were, let's say that everybody on this campus got pulled in before a judge for fill in the blank, whatever crime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge just said, I'm forgiving you all and letting you go. Has he upheld justice?
In society's sense of justice, no.
Okay. So he would not be a just judge, right?
Correct.
So if God just lets people go just because, he would not
be
just.
He's going to let you go
just
when you're truly sorry for those sins.
Okay. Imagine again, let's go back to the courtroom analogy.
Okay.
A criminal stands before the judge and says, Judge, I'm really, 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 really sorry.
Okay.
If the judge said, oh, okay, you're really sorry, I'll let you go, there's still a problem. He's contrite, and he should be, but that does not satisfy justice. The judge still cannot say, you're free to go. Everybody who's in jail has said they're sorry. But that does not
because society has the laws that the judge is bound by.
Exactly, and so does God, because God is the law. He is the judge, and he wrote the laws.
Okay.
And his standard would be things like lying and stealing and lusting or being angry with somebody or gossiping or cheating or dishonoring your parents or blaspheming. Those are his standard, and everybody who breaks those laws should be punished. And even if they try to do really good, imagine a criminal who broke a law, stood before the judge and said, yes, judge, I am guilty. I have broken the laws, but I washed your windows on your car on the way in here. The judge would say, that has no bearing on your court case. You have broken the law. You are guilty. I must punish you. I am sworn to uphold justice. So if that's reasonable and logical, what I just laid out,
mm-hmm.
If you've broken God's laws and I've broken God's laws, best I can figure this out, you and I are going to stand before God and we are going to be in a world of hurt. We're going to be judged for what we have done. And I've got a feeling that the punishment for our crimes is going to be exceedingly severe.
So you're believing that God does not forgive you?
I haven't heard you say any reason why he should.
Why he should?
Yes.
While we're responsible for our actions, I mean, it's the kind of thing like, he looks at the good in you. Like, everybody does have good. I believe that everyone is innately good. While we're, you know, we still have that original sin and, you know, there's negative influences.
You know, dude, you're a really nice guy. Honestly, I like you, but you just said something. You think we're good, and yet we've got original sin. Which is it?
Everybody is innately good.
But we all sin, right? Didn't we just agree to that?
Influences around us lead us to sin.
Irrelevant. There's people who have grown up with a silver spoon in their mouth, and it just doesn't matter. Have you ever been to, like, the McDonald's Playland?
Yeah.
We're monsters as kids. You know, really? Have you seen a kid?
But it's all in innocent fun. I mean, it was for me, at least.
Well, perhaps, but if you take a close look at it, kids can be very wicked at heart. And besides that, you're not a kid anymore.
Okay.
You're a grown man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're honest with yourself, when you think about your desires and your thoughts and your attitudes and your lack of gratitude toward God, really? A good guy at heart?
Yes. I believe everyone's good at heart.
Everybody? But Saddam Hussein and Adolf Hitler, Osama bin Laden.
Everybody was on the same plane when they were born. It's how they were raised and what society they were in.
All right, dude, you're walking this way. I have to take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll keep chatting, but I don't want to keep holding you up, okay?
Okay.
All right, listen, you're a nice young man.
Thank you.
This is Wretched Radio.
Did you know Wretched has a new Bible study curriculum? That's right, and it's not the same old boring Bible study curriculum that you may be used to seeing. The Wretched Bible study curriculum is interesting. It's relevant. And of course, if it comes from Wretched, you already know it's biblical. These Bible studies are based on our resources Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, Herman Who, and others. They're perfect for any youth group, adult small group, or even your own personal Bible study. You'll find that a Wretched Bible study will help you grow by taking you deeper into the Word than most Sunday school curriculums. And don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself by visiting wretched.org/study and picking up one of our new Wretched Bible studies. Wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. Remember, they're interesting, relevant, and of course, always biblical.
Well, here's something you'll almost never hear a talk radio show host say. Don't be like me. That's right. A talk show host saying, don't be like me. Why? Because we dilly-dallied regarding MediShare. We learned about affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to traditional health insurance, which saves on average $500 per month per family. And we thought, And the next thing you know, over 24 months went by before we got serious about investigating MediShare. We did. It passed the Friel family sniff test, and we are very happy that we are members and only lament that we hadn't done it sooner. So please, don't be like me. Check out MediShare for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Call now. 1-844-34-BIBLE.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive by Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive by Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Books of the Bible. God called the prophet Jonah to preach repentance in Nineveh. Jonah fled, but he could not outrun God. He was cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Jonah repented, and God spared him. Jonah then preached in Nineveh, and they repented. God is compassionate and merciful, and he is calling men from all nations to repentance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let me try to reason with you for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Because I've been trying to challenge your thinking a little bit.
Okay.
And your understanding of justice and what God should do with people who are unjust.
Okay.
People who break his laws are unjust. They are unrighteous. And they should be at the receiving end of God's punishment and his justice because they've broken laws primarily against him.
Okay.
Okay. So when the Bible says something like all liars will have their part in a lake of fire, yikes, he means it. Mm-hmm. And so when he says, if you take his name in vain, he will not hold you blameless, who takes his name in vain, God is going to have a day of judgment that he has set aside where he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Every Buddhist, every Baptist, everybody mm-hmm. who has broken his laws, the books will be opened up. And if that's true for you, and if that's true for me, what I've tried to share with you, your efforts to try to clean up the books are not going to help you any more than a criminal who says, imagine, what was the big Ponzi schemer guy? What was his name? Madoff, Bernie Madoff.
Okay.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who took millions or billions of dollars from celebrities and rich people, and he got busted for it. Now imagine he stands before the judge and said, Judge, yes, I embezzled billions of dollars, but I have given over $30 million to the Red Cross. What would the judge say to him?
He'd still convict him.
Exactly. So you've broken God's laws, and if you try to say to him, but I've done good, you're still going to be convicted.
Okay.
So that means you and I are entirely helpless. We are hopeless and helpless unless there's another solution. And here's what I would suggest the solution is for you, my Roman Catholic friend, right? Mm-hmm. It's not works, because all of your works, the Bible says, are like filthy rags, because they come from what you said, a corrupt nature, a mm-hmm. sinful nature. And when we offer up our good works to God, they're tainted. Just like if Osama bin Laden offered you $100, you'd go, ugh, who wants that coming from those filthy hands? I don't want anything to do with it. The same thing with your good works offered to God by yourself are worthless to him and offensive to him. Okay?
Okay.
There's a better solution to our problem. Jesus Christ, the God-man, saw your problem and in his mercy and compassion and loving kindness came to this earth and took on human form just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was beaten by men. He was spat upon, and he was hung on a cross where he gasped for air and died for you. The Bible describes this as the great exchange. You're the guilty man. Jesus is the perfect God-man. You've broken all the laws. Jesus kept every single law. The punishment that you deserve was put on Jesus Christ so that if you will respond to the good news that God died for sinners by repenting, that means is you agree with God, I'm not good. I agree that you and you alone, not the Buddhist, not the anything else, you are the true and living God, and I have sinned against you and offended you. And you turn from your sins, not in perfection, but in a different direction, no longer loving sins and self and self-righteousness. And you say you're sorry, and you put your trust in Jesus and in him alone. The Bible says when you do that, the good works of Jesus will be credited to your account. The punishment you deserve has been laid on him so that you can be forgiven by God. Not earning your way or working your way, but completely forgiven. And that way when you die, you go to heaven not based on your works, but based on his works. And that way, he gets all the credit for you going to heaven. Because if you contribute even this much to you going to heaven, you can then get to heaven and say, well, but I did something. I mean, I did something to earn my way here. And God did it all when he died on the cross and said, it is finished, so that he can get all of the credit. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, book in the Bible. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. That is so crystal clear. You and I can be forgiven. You and I can have our sins washed away, not by our goodness, but by his. But we have got to respond to that good news in humility. You're not a good man. You're a bad man, just like me, just like this, just like all of us, just like the Bible says. And when you're honest with yourself, you've maybe been trying really hard. You know your heart and what's going on in your head. And you might not be Osama bin Laden, but you've had plenty of lusting, lying, cheating, stealing, dishonoring your parents. And if nothing else, friend, think of all the times that you have breathed air in this conversation and didn't thank God for it. We're little rebels at heart that God wants to save so that he can point to us for all eternity and say, this is how good I am. Instead of sending him to hell, I saved him and forgave all of his sins, and he wants to turn you into the image of his son Jesus so that he can point to you and say, this is how good I am. I should have crushed him like a bug, but instead I swept down and saved him. Dude, that's the good news of the gospel, and I know that's a little different than what you've grown up hearing perhaps in the Roman Catholic Church. I'll be leaving your company now, okay?
Okay.
I have just offered you complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. It doesn't come from me, it comes from him. I'm simply telling you, the Bible makes it so clear that if you do not respond in complete humility, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. And what he was telling Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is, you've got to die to yourself. You don't kill yourself by jumping off a building. You die. And the way you die, Paul said, Romans 7, the law, the Ten Commandments, should kill you. Jesus, do you remember the Sermon on the Mount when he got up and he said those Beatitudes and those nice statements? They weren't nice statements. They were severe statements. Blessed are those who are broken in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of God. It means the individual who is completely broken, who is entirely undone, dead to self, no longer striving to attain heaven. He has forsaken his good works and cried out to God for mercy. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in the heart. If you have ever been angry with a guy who's an idiot or a moron, the Bible says you're a murderer at heart. That should kill you. It should just bring you to the point where you go, God, I am so sorry. I have just been so wicked. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Save me. And you put your trust in Jesus, and he will. When you die to yourself, he will make you alive again in him, and he will save you. And dude, you'll stop ceasing, and you'll stop striving, and you'll no longer have a guilty conscience because it will be cleansed. And you will then desire to live a life of righteousness, not to earn heaven, but because heaven has been earned for you. Huge difference. You will be good, not for goodness sake or to be rewarded to get to heaven, but you will be good because the good God, Jesus Christ, has died to save you. Okay? Huge difference. One is works. Your system right now is works. I'm telling you, like Jesus said, cease striving. If you are tired of working, rest in him and his works, and then live a life in response to that. That's the good news of the gospel, and it's completely different than what you've been living by. Mm-hmm. So here's what we got, dude, and I'll leave you with this. If you died now, trying to get to heaven by yourself, you will have failed, okay? God calls out to you this day, repent of your good works. Repent of your striving to please him. Humble yourself. And he says when you do that, he will lift you up in due time. Okay? Consider my words very carefully. I'm either right or wrong. Okay? I'm not here to sign you up for a cult or in anything else. I'm not going to taser you. I'm walking away. I would plead with your conscience, that thing inside of your brain that says, I haven't been good. I've been bad. Jesus says, I know. In fact, you're worse than you think. But I'm so good, I will save even you. He wants to save you. He wants to rescue you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Repent and trust in him. All right? That's all I got for you today, dude.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Thank you.
You're a gentleman. I appreciate it. Goodbye.
Have a nice day.
Goodbye. Well, part of me wonders who you are right now. I know how radio works. I know how this goes. You're tripping around on your radio. You put the scan on and you didn't happen to be under a bridge. And look at that. We showed up. Maybe, just maybe, you heard something of yourself in this young man. You've been trying. And you have been trying. But there's something inside of you, I hope, that will agree, it hasn't been enough. It just has not made my conscience feel any better. Then I would plead with you as earnestly and as gently, perhaps, as I can, You have got to simply lose the self-righteousness. You need to cease striving, trying to earn, trying to get yourself there, trying to present yourself as the acceptable gift to God, because you're not. The only acceptable gift is Jesus, and you must repent and put your trust in Him, and then you will be acceptable to God based on what He has done despite what you have done. Today is the day of salvation. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.